This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Kiddushin, tape number 4.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Our Maggid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Kiddushin, Parakha Emer, at the Mishnah, at the bottom of Daf Samach Amar Aleph. And the Mishnah says, if someone gives a woman a pruta, and says, be mekudeshes to me on the condition that later I give you 200 zuzim. So if he fulfills the tanai, the kedushin is good. If he does not fulfill the tanai, then the kedushin is not good. If he says, be mekudeshes if I have 200 zuzim, then the same halacha would apply. If he in fact has 200 zuzim, the kedushin is good. If he does not, the kedushin is not good. Gemara. Rafuna says this kedushin is chal retroactively, since this is a tanai. It can only be chal once the tanai is kayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, the kedushin is chal, but only mikanu lahaba, from when he gives her the extra money. The nafkamina would be, if someone else came along and married her between the time of his first statement and fulfillment of the tanai. According to Rabbi Huna, she would be married to person number one, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, she would be married to person number two, since number one can only be married if and when the tanai is kayim. This same achleikus would apply to a case of get as well. If he says, almanas, something to happen. A woman, if someone owes her money, is more embarrassed to ask for her money than a man would be. This machlaikis, the Gemara says, of almanas, is actually a machlaikis tanoim. Rabbi says, the klal is kolo eimer almanas me achshav dami. But the chachamim say, until the tanai is kayim, nothing can be chal. So kolo eimer almanas loy me achshav dami. Mishnah. If a man gave a woman a kedushin, almanas, that I have some land, as big as a base core, so as long as he has that size of land, the kedushin is chal. But if he does not have that size land, the kedushin is not chal. Daf Samach Aleph, the Gemara. We learned in Bava Basra, if one says to his friend that he's selling a field to him, the size of a base core, and in the field there were ditches that were 10 tefachim deep, or rocks that were 10 tefachim high, they are not considered to be part of the 10 kor of Afor, of the land that he said he would give him. But he must give him 10 kor worth of field separate and excluding these ditches or rocks. Mishnah, background. The source of being able to include a tanai as part of a business deal, tanai is a condition, this is learned from B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven. In Parshas Maaseh, we learned that the Shvatim of Gad and Reuven requested permission from Moshe Rabbeinu to live in Eretz Gilad, which was on the eastern side of the Yarden, across from Eretz Yisrael, which was on the west side of the Yarden, hence the area called the West Bank of Eretz Yisrael today, which is actually the western side of the Jordan River. That's where the term West Bank comes from. Moshe agreed, but stipulated that they first must lead the battle in conquering the land of Canaan. In making this deal, he included a tanai. If B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven will lead the Shvatim in war, then they can have Eretz Gilad for their portion. If, however, they don't fight, then they get a regular portion of land in Eretz Canaan. This is the source of all dinim of tanai throughout the Torah. And from here, Rameir learns out all the requirements needed for a tanai. If a tanai was made that didn't include all of these things, then the tanai is invalid, and whatever chalais is being said will take effect no matter if the tanai was fulfilled or it wasn't fulfilled. Rashi lists three requirements for the tanai to be considered a good part of the deal. Number one, it has to be a tanai kafel. Both sides of the tanai must be expressed. This means that you have to say both parts of the tanai. If you pay, then the get will be chal. But he also has to say, but if you don't pay, then the get won't be chal. If you don't say both parts, both the positive and the negative, then it's no good. Number two, tanai kaidim lemaisa. The tanai must be said before the chalais. In other words, first the person says, if you do the following, that's the tanai, if you do the following. And then the person says what the payoff will be if you do this particular thing. So for example, he says, if I give you $50, or if you give me $50, then this will happen. So first you have to say the if, then you have to say what the payoff is. And number three, hein kaidem lalav. First the positive part is said, then the negative. If you do it, then this will happen. But if you don't do it, then this will happen. And the Mishnah says, any tanai that isn't similar to the tanai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, if it isn't a tanai kafel, so if a tanai is not good, i.e. if a get had a tanai which was not kafel, the gerushin will take effect even without the fulfillment of the tanai. As we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu by B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven. Michlal hein iyata shamei alav. From a positive thing, you can't automatically learn the negative thing. Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel says that you can't bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu, since there he had to express, it was necessary to express, both sides of the Tanai. But normally, it's not necessarily to do that, since we say Michlal Hein Ata Shamei Alav. Once you know the positive side of the Tanai, you can automatically deduce the negative side of the Tanai. You don't necessarily need both sides. Once you know one part, then you know if you don't do it, what it means that you won't get the particular thing. And the Gemara says, the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tanai God, Tanai B'nai Ruvein, is compared to a mashal l'mahadavar daima, of a father dividing the property of his children. Rameir learns, Michlal Hein Iyata Shamei Alav. Chanan ben Gamliel says, we say, Michlal Hein Ata Shamei Alav. That you could learn, that you could deduce the negative from the positive. The Gemara asks in the case of Avram, who made Eliezer swear that he wouldn't take a wife for Yitzchak from the daughters of Canaan, which was repeated over to Besuel, when told over, and when it was told over to Besuel, it was with a Tanai Kafel, which is a riot to Rameir, who says that you do need a Tanai Kafel. Gemara says, hard bread with salt and onions is as hard for the body as a body struck with swords. Rashi learns in our Mishnah that Rabbi Chananya only argues on Rameir by the Tanai Kafel part, but the other items he agrees with Rameir, i.e., you do need a Tanai Kaidim L'maisa, and you do need Hein Kaidim L'lav. Taisus disagrees, and says Rav Chananya argues on all three halachas of Rameir, and says that you don't need any of them for the Tanai to be good. The Rambam in Perek Vav of Hilchas Ishus, paskins like Rameir, that every Tanai, whether by Gittin and Kedushin or by Mamanus, needs to be a Tanai Kafel, as well as the other halachas, that it has to be Hein Kaidim L'lav and Tanai Kaidim L'maisa. The Ran, however, brings the Rif, who holds that only by Gittin and Kedushin is a Tanai Kafel and the other halachas required, but not by Mamanus, i.e. by Maman, you don't need any of these halachas. And Taisvus on Daf Mem Aleph brings a riot to this from the fact that if one gives his friend an esrog, as a matana al manas lahachzir, on Sukkos, as long as he gives the esrog back, even if there was no Tanai Kafel, the matana is good, and the borrower would be yaitz to the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, since by Mamanus, one does not need a Tanai Kafel. Daf Samach Beis. If a person became Tame, he must be sprinkled with the Mei Par Aduma on both day 3 and day 7. And one who is not sprinkled on both of these days does not become Tahar. The Mishnah. If a person marries a woman and says, I thought she was a Kohanis, but it turned out that she was a Leviah, or vice versa, he thought that she was a Leviah, but she turned out to be a Kohanis, the Kedushin is Chal, since she didn't deceive him. He only thought that maybe she's a Kohanis, but it turned out she was a Leviah. And we say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Just because the person thought that does not necessarily mean that it's something that would have a bearing on the condition. Also, it is usher to make a Tanai on something which doesn't yet exist in the world. You can't make a Tanai on a davar shaleba li'olam. The Gemara. Three people must be used to do the act of tefilas ger, since the pasuk uses the term mishpat regarding a ger. So just like mishpat is with three dayanim, so too tefilas ger must be with three people. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rebbe, and Rameir all hold adam makna davar shaleba li'olam. A person can make a chalais on something which hasn't yet come to the world. Daf Samach Gimel, the Mishnah. If a man is Makadosh a woman on the condition that he speaks to the government on her behalf, or he works for her on a certain day, if he does one of these things, the Kedushin is Chal. But if he does not, the Kedushin is not Chal. And the Gemara says, this Chalais can still only be good if he gives her a Shavapruta for the Kedushin. The next Mishnah. If he's Makadosh on the Tanai that his father agrees to the Kedushin, if he agrees, the Kedushin is good. If he doesn't agree, the Kedushin is not good. If the father dies, then the Kedushin is good. Next Mishnah. A father was Makadish's daughter. He married her off and doesn't remember to who. And along comes a man and says, I married her. So we say he's believed. What if two people come? One says, I married her, and the other says, I also married her. Then both must give her a get, so she'll be able to be free to marry someone else. Otherwise, she'll be stuck, because she could be married to either of them. Gemara. If, however, she doesn't remember who she married, and a man says, I was the one whom you're married to, we don't believe him. Ravasi says, this is because by saying she was married to someone, she makes herself an Eishes Ish, Shavya Anafshe Chaticha de Isura. So this man who comes along is a Suffolk. So she becomes Osir to him. The Gemara then says that a father is believed to testify that his son is Bar Mitzvah with regard to Nedarim, and so on and so forth. However, with regard to capital or corporal punishment, the father's Eidus is not good enough. Two Eidim are necessary to say that the young capital offender has indeed reached Bar Mitzvah before Beis Din can administer any einshim. Taisus explains that a father's credibility to testify to his son's age with regard to Nedarim is based on the assumption that a father generally is careful to accurately remember the age of his children, knowing that he is the one expected to keep such records. Tosfos thus indicates that specifically a father is given the special credibility of testifying single-handedly to his son's age. Other people, however, will be believed if they testify as a pair of two edim, but not alone, regarding if a son's bar mitzvah or not. The Mishnah Brura in Simen Nun Hei, Sivkot and Mem Aleph, writes that the same halacha applies with regard to including a young person as a tenth person to complete a minyan. He says that only the father is believed to testify that his son is already bar mitzvah, but in the father's absence, testimony, edus of two witnesses, is required to establish the fact that the boy has in fact reached the age of bar mitzvah. The Rashba, however, disagrees with Tosfos and maintains that any single witness, not just the father, is believed to testify to the fact that a boy is bar mitzvah and capable of making a neder. He claims that the reason why the Braisa here in the Gemara specifies the credibility of the father is because otherwise one may have thought that a father as a relative has less credibility than other unrelated witnesses, but in truth any single witness is believed. Accordingly, any single eid, an eid echad, not just the father, is believed with regard to saying that a young boy has in fact reached the age of bar mitzvah and that he can be included as part of a minyan. Daf Samach Daled, the Mishnah. If a father says he married off his daughter when she was a katana, or he got a get for her, and now she's still a katana, then he's believed. But if she's already a gedola, then he's not believed. Gemara. Rabbi Akiva holds that someone marries a woman who is usher to him, the kedushin is not chal at all, since we say ein kedushin taifsin afilu b'chayv elavin. The Mishnah. If the husband says at the time of his death that he has children, he's believed, and his wife does not become zokuk liyibum, since yibum is only shaykh if a man had no children. But if he says that he had children, now she's free to marry anybody she wants, because he has children, therefore there's no yibum. If, however, he says, right before he dies, you know, I have brothers. Maybe we didn't know, maybe we did know, but once he says, I have brothers, so technically she should be zokuk liyibum, then he is not believed. The Gemara. He's only believed to make her mutter, not to aser her. So, for example, when he says at the time of his death that he has children, that we believe him, because that frees her, that makes her mutter to everybody else. If, however, she's zokuk liyibum, by saying that he has brothers, therefore she becomes zokuk liyibum, then he's not believed, because then she becomes aser l'chol adam. Our Mishnah is not like Reb Nosson, who says a man is believed to make his wife aser l'chol adam. The next Mishnah. If a man married off one of his daughters, and we don't know which one he married off, but he said, I married off the Gedola, all of the daughters become aser except for the youngest. This is the Shita of Reb Meir. According to Reb Yaisi, all are mutter except for the oldest. Gemara. A father would not ignore a situation where he has a mitzvah to marry off a katana and try to affect a situation where he doesn't have a mitzvah to marry off his Gedola daughter. All of the children of the Mishnah are nichlal in the suffix, since it's a derech to call one daughter a gedola as long as there is someone around in the house who's actually younger. The klal is that if we're dealing with a set period of time, for example, Chag HaPesach, and a person said a lashon of al panei, according to Reb Meir, this means until the end of Pesach. According to Reb Yaisi, this means until Pesach begins. Daf Samachei, the Mishnah. A man said to a woman, we're married. And she says, no, we're not married. So at that point, he cannot marry any of her relatives, since we say, Shavya anafshe chaticha de isura. He was one that said, we're married. Therefore, it's in effect, he's making himself married to her, so to say. Therefore, any relatives of her becomes usher to him. Shavya anafshe chaticha de isura. But she can marry his relatives, since according to her, she isn't married to him at all. But if it was vice versa, she said, we're married, but he says, we're not married. He's mutter to her relatives, but she's usher to his relatives, because in her case now, it's she becoming Shavya anafshe chaticha de isura. The Gemara. If he decides to give her a get, it's a simon that they taka were married, so we also force him to give a ksuba to her as well. If two people marry in front of an eid echad, we're not chayshish likadushin, and Shmuel adds, even if both the husband and the wife agree they were married, this eid echad is still not enough to clearly establish a chaleis kadushin, because to establish a chaleis kadushin, you need two full eidim who actually see the kadushin. If a man was megarish his wife, and they slept together in a hotel, Beis Shammai says we don't need a second get, but according to Beis Hillel, they do need a second get, since we're chayshish for znus, since once we have witnesses that saw seclusion, we can assume that they had bia as well, since hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. The Gemara says that the husband and wife agree that they're married. The Gemara asks, why don't we say, like we say by mamon, that haidas baldin kamei eidim dami? The Gemara answers, by mamon, if the leiva says, I owe money, he's believed, since only he loses, but doesn't cause a loss to anyone else. Mashenkin by Kedushin, if we believe that Reuven married to Rachel, all of Rachel's relatives lose, because they'll all become usher to marry Reuven. That's why we need two Edim. So we only say Hadas Baldin Kameh Edim Dami if the person who's making the Haidah is the only person who could lose. But here, all the brothers and sisters will lose because they won't be able to marry the respective spouse of their sister or brother. Daf Samach Vav. If one witness or the owner of an animal says that the animal injured someone or partook in znus, they're believed to passel the animal for use as a carbon. The Gemara says if an Eid Echad says Rachel was Mezana and Reuven, her husband, was silent, so Abaye says the Eid Echad is believed, since we say Shtika Kaida. But according to Rava, the Eidus is worthless. This is a case of Erva, and the Halacha is Ein Davar Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim. Doesn't matter, you always need two witnesses anytime it has anything to do with Arais. Gemara says Yanai HaMelech went out and captured 60 towns. When he returned, he brought the Chachamim together and said, even though we now have a lot of wealth, but Zecher LaMikdash, when they didn't have a lot of money at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and they only ate vegetables, let us too eat vegetables on our Shulchanei Zohar. And after a particular Maisa where he was embarrassed, Apikursis came to Yanai. He killed many of the Chachmei Yisrael, and a lot of the Torah was lost from the world until Shimon ben Shetach restored it. From a Maisa regarding a mikveh in Megura, which had a suffix Arboim Saw, we learn that an Eid Echad is not believed in a Dover Sheba Erva. Rabbi Tarfon says, since the mikveh has a Cheskas Tahar, the suffix of 40 Saw cannot be Mafkiat from Tahar, from Tahara. Rabbi Akiva says, we look at the man. He has a Cheskas Tuma, so the suffix cannot make him Tahar. But in the end, Rabbi Tarfon agreed with Rabbi Akiva. If we find a Kayan is a Cholol, all of his previous Aveda still remains kosher, as we see from the Pasuk by Levi. Hashem will bless his hosts, and the works of his hands will be accepted. Barech Hashem Chele, Ufayel Yadav Tirza, from Zayis HaBracha. Chele can be read as Cholol as well. If a Kayan is a Balmum, his Aveda is Pasul, even if the work is done B'Shaigig, since by Pinchas it says, Hineni Naisen is Brisi Shalem. The Aveda is accepted only if Shalem. Only if he has shalem. The word shalem is read shalem. But if he has a mum, then it isn't accepted since he isn't shalem. Aye, but the pasuk says shalem with a vav, not shalem without a vav. Our answer is since vav is only a half of vav. If you look into the Torah, the vav is only a half of vav. Therefore, it can also be read as shalem. Mishnah. Where a marriage is kosher and can be typhus, the yichas of the child will go after the father. For example, if the father is a kain, then the son will be a kain. However, if the marriage is something which is really usser, for example, a grusha l'kayin, the yichas of the child will go after the pogum. And if the kedushin is not typhus at all, for example, relations with an erva, then the child becomes a mamzer. Daf Samach Zayin, the Gemara. If a man from Chutz La'aretz has relations with a Knanis, one of the seven nations that we are machuyav to kill out, and they have a son, how do we know that we look at the yichas of the father, and therefore the son isn't from the Shiva Umais? We don't kill him, but we can use him as an eved. We learn from the Pasuk in Vayikra, Begam Mibnei HaTayshavim. How do we know that Kedushin is not typhus to an Erva, to something, for example, which is a Chayvei Krisis? We learn from the Pasuk of Yatza Mibesai, V'holcha Le'ish Acher. Acher comes to say that Kedushin is only Chal to an Acher, not to a Karav, not to a relative. Anything that's an Erva, the punishment for B'mezid is Karis, for B'shagig is Chatas. And all arayas are learned from Achais Isha, that Kedushin is not typhus. Daf Samaches. Abaye says that everyone, even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that a child from Chayvei Lavin is a mamzer, but he agrees that the child of a nida is not a mamzer. Aye, but if Kedushin is not typhus in a nida, the child should be a mamzer in a relationship which involved a nida. My answer is, from Chizkiyahu says that there's a special pasuk by Nida, that says if someone has relations with a Nida, Kedushin is typhus. Rabbi Akiva does agree, however, that Ba'ula L'Kayin Gadol is a case that Kedushin is typhus, since it's an Aseh that isn't Shava by Koel. It's only relevant to a Kayin Gadol, not to anyone else. Therefore, the Vlad in that case would not be a Mamzer. I want to ask, how do we know that if one marries a Gaita, is the Kedushin not typhus? How do we know that it's not typhus? From the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Lo Sischatein Bam. So the Kedushin is not typhus, and the yichas of the child goes after the mother. And since the Pasuk says bincha, the only time it's called bincha is if the child is born to a Jew, not to a guy. Daf Samach Tas, the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon says a mamzer can purify his children in the following manner. Let the mamzer marry a shivcha, and the child will be nisiaches after the mother. And if you free this child, he becomes a full ben charen, without the psul of mamzeris hanging over him. Rabbi Lezer says, no, this child, even in this case, remains a mamzer. And finally, the Gemara here questions whether this halacha of Rabbi Tarfon is only b'di'evit or even l'chatchila. L'maisa, the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Tarfon. This marks the end of our perek. Now let's begin the fourth parak, Asara Yuchsin, from the Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes. 10 different types of genealogical families went up from Bavel with Ezra HaSeifer, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael so the Batei Dinim could eventually decide if they could be Ma'arev, could they mix and marry into Klal Yisrael. These 10 were Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim. Chalolim are Kohanim who were born from mothers who were Psula Lekohuna, for example, a Grusha Lekayin. Number 5, Gerim, converts. Number 6, Charuri. These were the slaves that became free. Number 7, Mamzerim, children who were born from a relationship of Erva where the Kedushin is not typhus. Nesinim is number 8, descendants of the Givinim who became Gerim in the days of Yehoshua. Yehoshua was Geizer, but they can't marry into Klal Yisrael. Number 9 is Shtuki, and number 10, Asufim. These are Sveike Mamzerim. The Mishnah then says, the halacha is that Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim can intermarry with each other. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, and Charuri can intermarry with each other. Masha'enkin, a Kayin, cannot marry Chalolim, Giyarim, or Bascharim. Can't marry a Bascharim, since she has a Cheskas Zaina. Gerim, Charuri, Mamzerim, Nesinim, Shtuki, and Asufim can intermarry with each other. What is a Shtuki? A Shtuki is one who knows his mother, but does not know his father. And a Sufi is one who was abandoned in the market and doesn't know who either of his parents are. And the Gemara asks, why did the Mishnah use the Lashon of Asara Yuchsin Olu Mi Bavel? Why didn't the Mishnah use a Lashon of Olu Le'eretz Yisrael? Why did it have to talk about that they came from Bavel? Why didn't the Mishnah simply say that they went to Eretz Yisrael? Gemara answers, to teach us about the geography or the topography of Eretz Yisrael, that the Beis HaMikdash was higher up than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was higher up than other countries. V'kamta v'alisa. They went up from Bavel to a higher place, i.e. to Eretz Yisrael, from a lower place, i.e. Bavel. The Gemara says all of these people who went up from Bavel with Ezra, Abaye says they went up on their own free will. Rava says that Ezra had to force them to go up to Eretz Yisrael in order to clean up the problems of Bavel to prevent bad assimilation. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Eretz Yisrael is like a melting pot of dough compared to Bavel, in that its mixture is of many different nationalities who don't really know each other. Similar, I guess, to how it is all over the world with Jews, where many places in the United States, or Israel, or Europe, or wherever you might be, it's always basically a melting pot of Jews who came from all over the world. According to one man, Yomer, if we see a Kayin in a certain town eating truma, we can assume that he must be a Kayin, and one can marry off his daughter to him, and he can do Avaida also in the Beis HaMikdash, because he has a Cheskas Kasher. Tafayin. A guy or an Eved who has relations with a Bas Yisrael, the children will be Mamzerim. Rabba Barbar Chana said, anyone who marries a woman from an improper lineage, it is like he has plowed up the world and seeded it with salt, and nothing good will come from it. Rabba Barav Ada said, anyone who marries a woman for her money will have children who won't go in the proper path, and they'll also lose all of their money quickly. In Kuntras al-Hadaf, they bring Rashi, who says and who indicates that Rav was only discouraging marriage with an unworthy woman for the sake of her money. But he was not referring to one who marries a worthy woman for the sake of her money. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simen Beis, cites the opinion of the Rivash, who likewise says that it's mutter to marry a woman for the sake of her money, provided she is worthy and suitable. However, the Rama also cites the opinion of the Archas Chaim, who maintains that although one may accept a dowry from his in-laws, nevertheless, if he delays the engagement or the wedding on account of the dowry, i.e., in order to wait for his in-laws to fulfill their commitment, or by holding out for a specific amount of money, then, in that case, he's considered Naisei L'Shem Mammon, one who marries for the sake of money, and he's in violation of Rav's halacha. The Vilna Gaon further asserts that, according to the Archas Chaim, the determining factor for Naisei L'Shem Mammon, when one marries a wealthy woman, depends on whether he would have married the same woman even if she had been poor. Thus, any time money is the deciding factor in someone's shidduch, he's considered to be over on the Isser, here brought down by Rav, of Naisei L'Shem Mammon. The Gemara then says that if one marries a woman who is psula, eina hegenes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him malchus, and Eliyahu will curse him because he ruins the yichas of his children and his pagim, his family. Anyone who walks around and talks bad about the yichas of other families, it's a simon that he himself must have problems with his own yichas. When a person is appointed as the head of a community, it is also for him to do manual labor in public, since as the head of such a chashuva position, it's considered a gnai. Shmuel said a person cannot use a woman for no reason stam to do little jobs for him, because it's degrading to her, whether she's a ketana or whether she's a gedela, since it could bring to erva. In fact, even a woman's voice is considered an erva, koel be'isha erva. Also, you shouldn't ask about the welfare of a woman so it doesn't lead to an act of erva. The Gemara says anyone who claims that he is from the house of the Chashmonaim must be an Eved, since there were no Chashmonaim left after Hurdus killed all of them. The Gemara says there are two family genealogies in Nahar Da, the Debei Yaina, the family of doves, and the Debei Arvasi, the family of ravens. Pashchar ben Omer owed 400 slaves, and all of them intermingled with the Kahanim and married Kahanim. So later, any Kayan who had Azus Panim, who had a lot of chutzpah, they knew that he must come from the family, from a family of Avadim. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina said that when a Kaddish Baruch Hu allows his Shechina to shine on the world, it only allows the Shechina to shine on families that have the full yichas of Klal Yisrael, not Gerim, as we learn from the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Rabbi Chalbay said that Koshim Gerim LeYisrael Kesapachas. Gerim are like to Klal Yisrael, like Tsaras. They cause trouble for Klal Yisrael, since they are not Bekiyim in all of the mitzvahs. This is how Rashi explains it. Tafayin Alf. Of all the Shvatim, Shevet Levi was singled to be purified first. Originally, the 12-letter Shem Hashem, the Chachamim used to give over to anyone. When people started to misuse it, for example in Duchening, then they stopped giving it over. The Gemara says if you see two families who fight with each other, one of them must be Pasul, i.e. it's a simon from Shemayim that they fight, so neither will want to marry into each other's families, because there's some kind of a yichas problem in one of the families. The Gemara says Bavel is considered the highest level of miyuchasim. Bavel includes all the land up to the river Pras on the east, and the Chidekel on the west. Others say that the western border goes a bit further than the Chidekel. Dafayin Beis. This question about the borders of Bavel regarding yichas is the same question regarding the halachas of Gittin. Where exactly is the border of Bavel to determine whether b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam, which normally needs to be said when a shliach brings a get, needs to be said here or not? When Rebbe was going to die, he began to talk nevuah, and he spoke about places that were full of znus. The Gemara says we learn ein tzaddik nifter min ha'olam ad shenivra tzaddik kemaisei, that when a tzaddik dies, he doesn't actually die until another tzaddik is created and comes into the world to actually take his place. We learn this from the pasuk in Kehelas, v'zarach ha-shemesh uba ha-shemesh, when one shemesh goes, the other then comes. As we know, as we learned from many of the Tanaim, when Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi was born. When Rabbi died, Rabbi Yehuda was born. Rabbi Yehuda died, Rava was born. And when Rava died, Rav Ashi was born. Rabbi Yossi says, mamzerim en esinim lo'asid lavai will become tahar. According to Rameir, they will not become tahar. And we paskin it like Rabbi Yossi. However, there's a fundamental disagreement amongst the Rishayim as to the meaning of this, as is brought in Kuntres al Hadaf. The Ramban maintains that when Mashiach comes, even the Mamzerim Vadoim, the definite Mamzerim, will be purified and permitted to marry Bikal Hashem into the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Rush and Ran, however, disagree and maintain that Rabbi Yossi just means that the families that will have tainted genealogy due to unidentified mamzerim who married into their family over the generations will not be exposed by Eliyahu HaNavi and will not be rejected from Klal Yisrael. The Gemara then brings Rabbi Yossi, who says that a mamzer is allowed to marry a ger, since a ger is not considered to be Bikal Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says a ger shouldn't marry a mamzeres, since a ger is Bikal Hashem. Tafayin Gimel. A shtuki is someone who knows who his mother is, but not who his father is. And in a Torah, a shtuki is kosher, as long as she wasn't an Eishes Ish, despite the fact that we don't know who the father is. This is because to a single woman, rive men are kosher, only a miut are pasul, for example, if he's a mamzer, or a relative. And since he came to her, we say, kol de parish meruba parish, the father separated himself from the rive, who are all ksherim. Ivy Gemara asks, let's say that she went to them, and since they're kavua, kol kavua kemechza al mechzadami, so even if he's possibly kosher, but he's potentially part of a pasul amiut, which is 50-50, so it's pasul. Our answer is the child is still kosher, since the Torah says, la yavai mamzer bikal Hashem. Only a mamzer vadai is pasul, not a mamzer suffik. He can marry into the kal Hashem. However, midr Rabbanan, a shtuki should not marry into the kal Hashem. If a child was found in the street and he had a bris milah, it's a simon that he couldn't be pasul, since no one would be bothered to make a milah if he wouldn't clearly be Jewish. And therefore, he is not considered an asufi. But if he's stam found abandoned in a Rishus HaRabim, we're chayshish that he is an asufi.